A recent case in Idaho is raising alarms over the government's ability to take children from parents using what's being called medical kidnapping. Representative Tammy Nichols says that it contains possible legal issues since normal protections under the law are being reversed.
You know, that's what we are finding, is that when these cases happen, the guilt rests upon the parents to be able to prove themselves innocent.
The topic is also gathering deeper controversy amid pushes for COVID-19 vaccine mandates on children.
This is becoming a problem, and we're not only seeing it happening here in the state of Idaho, it's happening all over.
Hey, Tammy Nichols, thanks for being on Crossroads.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand in Idaho you're dealing with an issue of medical kidnapping by CPS. Can you explain to us what is medical kidnapping?
Well, medical kidnapping is where a child is taken from their family, and usually it's due to some sort of medical reason that is either something that the child is experiencing or something that is just presumed is occurring.
Wait, presumed? What does that mean?
Well, for the instance that we have currently, the presumption is that the child was malnourished. And the parents contend that the child is not malnourished. It's just the way that the baby is and the way that the child is digesting food and having issues with some supplements with milks and other foods, and isn't able to process those foods correctly, and it's making the child sick. And so the child has been exclusively nursed instead because he can handle the breast milk much better and process that. And so the child was in the hospital for a little while, and then he was able to get out and go in for weight checks. And without getting into too much more detail yet, the hospital, the doctor at that time, not at the hospital, but at a clinic, had decided that, it was a case for CPS to handle because they felt that the child was, malnourished.
So the doctor made an assumption that the child is malnourished, even though there's medical reasons for this. They call up Child Protective Services. Then what happens?
Well, in the case that we have going on in Idaho right now, the family was scheduled for a weight check. They'd already been into a couple, is my understanding, previous couple days. And they did not attend this weight check. They wanted to reschedule. I don't know all the details to it because I wasn't there, of course. But what happened and what I ended up seeing is a Facebook Live video that came on my Facebook, because I am friends with one of the parents. And they had the police surrounding them at a gas station, and they were being told that their child needed to go to the hospital. And instead of just giving the child up, they were asking questions. There was some people that were handcuffed at that time, including a sibling of the mother, because they thought that the sister was the mother, and she was not. And then the next video that I ended up watching that came on was in an ambulance, where they were telling the mother that she needed to turn over her baby, and they were going to take the baby to the hospital, and that she was not allowed to go with them, and they were going to take the child into custody.
Now, I understand in Idaho this is a big case right now regarding medical kidnapping, where Child Protective Services or the state can basically take your kid away, as happened recently, as you described, based on the assumption of a doctor. This set off a lot of alarm bells for people because they've seen this happen now, and they're wondering, well, is this a one-off or is this a common thing? Can they do this to me? What is it? What does it mean?
We've actually had several cases here in Idaho. I actually worked with another parent a few years ago where her child was taken from her. It was a medical issue again, and similar circumstances, except this child was already a teenager. And they went through the whole court process, and the child was taken away, put into foster care, and the mother had to prove her innocence. Everything that they charged her with, she was never found guilty of anything. She was able to get her child back after many, many months, but she is still working on getting all of her name cleared and all the legal entanglements handled.
Explain this to me. Normally in the U.S., you're innocent until proven guilty. So you said you had to prove her innocence. Is this different in this case?
You know, that's what we are finding, is that when these cases happen, the guilt rests upon the parents to be able to prove themselves innocent. So a CPS or just about anyone can make an accusation against parents or against the provider of the child and say that this child is being neglected or abused or whatever the case may be. And it seems that the intent as far as proving their innocence falls upon the parents, even without them being charged with anything, which is what happened in this last case, as well with this baby. There was never any charges brought against the parents that there was any neglect or abuse or anything going on. And so they have to prove themselves innocent.
Wait, so the state can take your infant or take your child without any evidence or charges?
Yes. Yeah. Just with the presumption. It starts with the presumption. And if they presume that something's happening, then they go in and take your child. And that's creating a lot of problems. It's a lot of concern for parents.
Now, one issue you mentioned too is that anyone can report on it. It's not just Child Protective Services. A lot of people think, well, the police might say something, they pass it to Child Protective Services, and then they can, you know, CPS can take your kid, but it can be anybody who reports?
Anyone could report. And if CPS makes a visit and determines that the child is needing to be taken, then they can go ahead and do that. Now, there are some instances in situations that I've seen across the United States where parents have been able to exercise rights that they are privy to, that they know about, they know how to handle the situation. And I know the first thing that I have heard is that you just don't allow CPS into your home. You just don't allow them in there. If they come back with a warrant or something along those lines, then that makes it a different case. But yes, that seems to be what's transpiring.
So what does it mean then if they take your kid away from you? Do they go into the foster care system? And what does the parent do during this time if there's no charges or anything like that?
So with this last case, the parents did not, once they took the child from the mother, again, the mother was arrested and then released, but they didn't know where their child was. They had no clue where the child was. They didn't know how long they had to wait for the hearing, and CPS was then at that time the one in charge, and they were the ones making the decisions on if the parents could visit the child, for how long, if they were going to be able to make any decisions or determinations with the child at that time. It seems that the parental right aspect is taken away at that moment, and it's turned over to CPS. And now you're at the discretion of what CPS wants to do and what they're allowing you to do at that time.
Now, this seems almost like a different legal system. You know, in America, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. Like the Napoleonic system, for example, was guilty until proven innocent. What does the process of proving your innocence look like? Because this is not how things are normally done.
It varies. It really, really varies from case to case on how far people have to go to be able to prove their innocence. Some have been resolved fairly quickly. Some take a long, long time. With the mother, with the teenager, you're talking 18 months roughly, and maybe even longer now, because she's still trying to clear her name. She got her child back, but she's still trying to get her name cleared, get all the legal entanglements wrapped up. And so she's still doing it.
So they take your kid away from you. You're guilty till proven innocent. No charges even filed to take your child away from you. And then even if you go through the process of getting your kid back, at least you're saying there's other additional loopholes they have to get through to clear their name. What does that mean?
That can range. So it could be as severe as having to register as a sex offender. It could be where CPS gets to make determinations still. They can come into your home at any time. They can attend any of your appointments at any time. It's almost like you're on probation and you have to check in with your probation officer. And so it could be a wide array of things, from very severe to, just attending appointments. But still, those are things that are trampling upon your life and your ability to make those decisions without having someone looking over your shoulder all the time.
So, I mean, these are pretty severe consequences to place. I can see some cases where that might be justified, you know?
Sure.
But, you know, normally you have to have evidence and proof and a lot of process to do something that severe to a parent, especially, and to a kid, I would say. And so it seems like the normal protocols of making sure that that is justified or not there. Is this what you're seeing?
Yeah, you know, that really is how it comes across, is that, you know, there is these conclusions that are made very quickly, you know, without even, in these videos that I watched, there was not a lot of, you know, questions being asked as far as, you know, well, what happened? And you know, why didn't you take your child to the appointment? What transpired? You know, she's offering to go to the hospital with the police, with whoever was there, and they aren't even giving her that opportunity. And so they're almost immediately wanting to separate the parent from the child. And so, yes, it does seem to be that is transpiring.
Well, where's this coming from? I mean, at the U.S.-Mexico border, you have a law now where kids have to be separated from people in case they're being trafficked. And now that, you know, you have these different groups wanting to sue the state for like $400,000 right. for every case. That type of child separation is an issue, but taking it from American citizens, this is no issue. What's going on with this?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, this is becoming a problem. And we're not only seeing it happening here in the state of Idaho; it's happening all over. There's been several very national type news stories that have transpired in regards to children being taken away, medical kidnapping happening. And you wouldn't think that would be the case. I mean, we want children protected, of course. If there is neglect or abuse going on, we want that to happen. It used to be that, you know, churches, families, your local communities, they kind of all watched out for that sort of stuff, and they would interject and help in situations like that. Now that's all being turned over to government, and government is, in many cases, seems to be overreaching. We have lots of children that are actually taken away, or CPS is involved, and only a few of those, and I don't know the percentage right off the top of my head, but only a few of those actually end up being legitimate cases. And there is money that's involved in that too. Unfortunately, I've been told that doctors are given $800, I believe is what it is, for every case that they turn into CPS.
Wait, so on a single report, they can go and take your kid away from you with no evidence, no charges, and the people who make that report get paid money if they make that report. So there's a financial incentive for them to do this.
That's how it's being presented to us, that is what's transpiring, that there is money to be made, and that we have people that are okay with doing that. Now, you know, I can't speak for any of these doctors in regards to why they did what they did, but what we're seeing nationally is that is transpiring.
Now, I mean, what do you tell parents at this point, that the government can take your kid away? What happened? You know, where's the argument at right now, like legally? I know you're involved in some of these cases. Where is it at right now? Where's the debate at?
Well, of course, it's making parents more and more nervous for, you know, taking their kids to the doctors or to appointments, or because you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, if someone feels that a child is being abused, or they have something out for the parent. Maybe, you know, you have a parent that's, they don't do vaccinations for their children, and they start seeing a doctor that's very pro-vaccination, and they determine that because your kid is not being vaccinated, that you're neglecting or you're abusing your child somehow, and turn you in for that. I mean, that is a legitimate concern. Or if your child breaks an arm, you know, are you going to be the one that they're pointing to because they think you broke the arm of the child, and that the child just didn't, you know, have a mishap that happened? So it puts a lot of doubt into parents' minds on if it's safe to take their kids in for medical care. And so, you know, it starts with that premise. And so it puts that doubt into parents' minds.
Well, this ties into a whole other issue too, which is, you know, what we saw during the pandemic, which is the politicization of medicine.
Yeah.
Where, for example, as you mentioned, even wanting to get an injection or not, to get the vaccine or not, has become more of a political issue for a lot of people.
Sure.
And so if politically you disagree with it, and the doctor's on the other side of the political aisle, that doctor can report you and get money. They get paid to report you. They get paid to report you, and then the CPS can take your kid based only on that recommendation.
You know, it sounds far-fetched, but at this point in time, I think that could happen. I think you could have situations where that happens, or they utilize that as a means to be able to get at parents or to create problems, you know, within that dynamic, you know, so anything could happen, actually.
Now, doing some investigations, I was in California, for example, looking into some of the, you know, sex ed programs there. One thing that's come about with this whole trans movement is what they call spiritual abuse, where if your religion does not support a child's choice to become trans, they can call CPS on you. And I mean, it seems like this is a nationwide issue now, where the protocols that they can go through that justify, that they can use legally justify taking your kid from you, are getting, I think, broader and broader and broader, to the point where even having a religious belief that goes against, you know, these types of behaviors can be something used to justify taking your kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the concern, is if we don't start nipping this in the bud and start setting very strong parameters and borders for these agencies to have to stay and operate within, then it can continue to expand and get into other areas, into things like you were just stating that seem very out there, outside of what the norm would be and illogical. But we are starting to see that happening in other states, and it just slowly creeps into all the surrounding states.
Now, I mean, can you explain to me kind of the logic you've encountered with this? Because I know, for example, again, the U.S.-Mexico border issue, child separation, this was a huge issue, especially among Democrats. They were all over it, even to the point where, yeah, sure, if these are human traffickers trafficking children, even in that case, they don't want them being separated. That's how much they cared about it. But in this case, now we're talking about where a doctor can have an opinion or an assumption and then report you, or anybody can have an assumption and report you. It can be done to Americans. Like, what is the jump in logic that you've heard that justifies it on one side but condemns it on the other?
There isn't any. I mean, I don't know how you justify that. If you're concerned about it on one hand, then you should be concerned about it on the other for actual American citizens. But, illogic kind of pervades right now in our society. And, you know, Idaho is a sex trafficking hub because of where we're situated. We have states all around us. We hit up to the Canadian border. It's very easy for someone to utilize our state to traffic children through. And so, you know, we have to be very, very careful and diligent about what's transpiring. But we have to set those boundaries and make sure that those agencies, such as CPS, are staying and operating within their boundaries. Yes, again, we want children to be protected. If there are issues going on, we want, you know, to be able to intervene and manage that. We have laws on the books to protect for neglect and abuse. And so they're already there. And if someone is doing that to a child, then they need to be charged for that, and it needs to be handled appropriately. But we are turning more and more over to these agencies to be able to make those decisions and not have to charge parents and just be able to intervene, take the child. And then again, it goes back to the parents having to prove themselves innocent, even if no charges are brought up, which to me is very wrong. And parents should have due process. That's the other thing. That's the American way of doing things. We have due process. We should be able to utilize that, and parents should not be left out of that picture at all.
Well, he mentioned, of course, human trafficking and child trafficking, which is a whole nother issue, but tied to this, actually, because we know that the foster care system is one of the biggest funnels to the child trafficking system. And so they're taking the kids and putting them in an environment where they're more likely to end up as, you know, trafficking victims.
Sure.
And so it seems like the state is the least responsible party in this.
Right.
But, you know, statistically, when you're looking at, like, abuse of children.
Yeah.
And so how do you see these things relating? And have you challenged this? I mean, what's the state of this?
Yeah, so we're really, this bill, this House Bill 821, is kind of a new approach to what we're needing to do, where we're needing to start in reining in that government control and that authority. And so I know that there's connections with the sex trafficking. I've heard of other cases where there's been operation stings that have been done, where you have judges involved and doctors involved, and they're getting children, taking them from their parents and giving them to others, and they're being trafficked. So we don't want that to happen. And I'm hoping that it's not happening here. But just in case, our goal right now is to start reining in CPS and their ability to go after parents without, any real needs. Again, we want to protect children that are needing protected. But in this last case that we just had, I mean, I watched it with my own eyes. I'm so glad that it was recorded. It was Facebook Live. And to be able to see that happen firsthand, I was just amazed that what I was watching was what was transpiring. And to have a mother say, "I will do whatever you need me to do And then not even allowing her to be able to come with her child at that point in time, over a doctor's appointment, over rescheduling a doctor's appointment, just seemed just really outrageous to me.
Well, and you hit on something even more serious. I think every parent's worst nightmare, which is the system set up in the way that we've been talking about. I won't go over it again. It's set up in a way that makes it so easy to do. And if you have corruption at any point tied to human trafficking, this is just a channel to take kids.
Absolutely.
You mentioned, of course, you know, cases where judges have been found working with doctors, and that's all it takes to basically have a human trafficking ring with children, where they could just take anybody's kids
at any time and for anything. And again, it's up to the parents to have to prove their innocence. Now, government has, it seems like, an unlimited supply of money and attorneys and whatever it's needing. But families don't have that. You know, they're working, you know, with one of these cases, the family, the mother was saving money to buy a house. She had to use all of her money to go into legal expenses to be able to fight to get her child back and to start getting her name cleared up. So it's putting families at a great disadvantage when these things happen, because they have to go to the expense and through the time and the energy and the efforts that it takes to have to prove your innocence.
Now, Tammy, I know a lot of people will be hearing this and thinking, well, geez, what if this happens to me? How easily could this happen? I know you're talking with a lot of parents and people concerned about this. Like, what have you found, or what have people found that you think more people should know about? Like, what do you do in situations like this?
Sure. Yeah. So since we started talking about this bill and we have it out there now, I am getting emails of stories from people from all over telling me what happened to them. And they're very concerning stories. And so we want people to send in their stories. We want to see what's going on and see what people's experiences have been. You know, with this bill, we had a couple of attorneys that work on CPS cases, helping families get their kids back, that helped draft this bill, as well as families that have experienced it themselves to give their input on it as well. And so it was a great effort by several different avenues to be able to try to put a bill together that would start handling the very basic issues that we're experiencing right now, that families are experiencing right now, with going through, you know, a medical kidnapping or having to deal with CPS. So we want to get the word out there. We want people to know that there are things going on in our state where medical kidnapping seems to be becoming more and more of an issue. And we need to, you know, get ahead of it and be proactive in our approach to be able to protect families, and especially protect them when they haven't done anything.
Well, and I think nationally as well. I mean, have you seen any movements on this as well nationally to prevent this type of child abduction by the state?
Yeah, there are other states that they have ran different pieces of legislation. Some states have passed things, some haven't. I think Massachusetts had a really compelling story that happened about 8 years ago to a teenager there that was taken away from her family because her family simply wanted a second opinion. And she was taken away. She went into the hospital. She was taking ice skating lessons. By the time they got her back, she was in a wheelchair. So and so they fought that and were trying to get some legislation passed in their state to prevent those things from happening. So we are seeing that happen, because it seems like either these stories are becoming just more into the media, into people's the news that they watch, or we have an increase that's going on, one of the two. But I know in my state of Idaho, just this year, there have been several cases that I've heard about where this has transpired, and it doesn't seem justified in many of those cases.
Well, you know, Tammy, you laid out a pretty concerning point here in Idaho. And I know as a lawmaker, too, you look at, when you're trying to work with legislation, you look at what other states have done, what has worked, what's gotten passed, you know, in terms of drafting legislation. How big is this issue? Is this, I mean, it seems pretty serious here, but how big is this nationwide?
I would say it's probably more than what we think it is. You know, a lot of the times when families go through these cases, they have gag orders that are put on them, so they can't even talk about what their experience is while they're going through it. And again, it could take several years for them to be able to get through that whole process. And so I think it's out there more than it's not. I know that parents, families that are going through this as well, become concerned with retribution or retaliation that might happen because they're speaking out. There were a few cases where a family member had a gag order put on them and they went ahead and spoke out anyway because they felt it was that needed, that they needed to tell their story and share what was going on so other people were aware. So I think it's probably happening more than what we realize it is.
Well, that's crazy because this sounds like a mafia operation. They can take your kid, you're guilty till proven innocent, and then they have a legal procedure in place to make it so you can't even talk about it. And so we don't even know how big of an issue this is.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And once parents go through this, once families go through the situation, they get the child back, they just want to get back to normal as much as they possibly can. And they're not there for any limelight or anything along those lines. And again, I'm sure a lot of them are uncertain about what their future holds. And if they step out of line or say something, you know, could they be back in that situation again? And so I think it creates a mindset that, you know, they just need to mind their P's and Q's and just get on with their life after they get their children back. But I think it's probably happening more so than not.
So but I know you're trying to reel this in, you know, reel in this issue. And you mentioned the first step is really kind of rolling back the extra legal powers that the state seems to have in this case, where, again, you're guilty till proven innocent, because that seems to be like the main loophole within the way our legal system is supposed to work. What's the first step you see with fixing this?
Yeah, the first step is really to making sure you have strong legislation. These are agencies. They should be controlled by the legislature, by the government in general. But you got to make sure that you have good boundaries and good parameters and good laws on the books that dictate, you know, how CPS is operating. Now, not every state calls it CPS, but Child Protective Services, regardless of what it's called in the state. But you got to make sure that you have good laws on the books. And we always want to try to err with parental rights. I think that's a really important piece to the puzzle, is that parental rights are in place unless there is a absolute need to eliminate or to pause those parental rights for that time. But there better be some really good evidence that is brought about first before parental rights are eliminated or they're taken away, where the parents don't have any say in what's occurring. And again, you know, we have in Idaho, with all the cases that CPS is involved in, very few of them actually are true CPS cases that need to be pursued.
Hey, Tammy Nichols, thanks for being on Crossroad.
Thank you.